Well, I think we've been in very close contact through the Minister of Health, directly, the World Health Organization and other partners. But also we're very happy that the Prime Minister himself has taken on in charge of the crisis response part of the Palestinian Authority, which we align ourselves with and we're in close contact and we have video teleconferences with them. I mean, clearly from the beginning it's been an all-government, all-of-government, all-cabinet approach. I think that's very, very helpful. And obviously, given the Palestinian situation, they have insufficient means to take care of many things on their screens, different service deliveries in different parts of the West Bank and Gaza. I think that this pandemic has just exacerbated already difficult circumstances. But that said, I think that we commend the government and its approach. I mean, it's basically been a threefold approach. It's been a sort of a prevention and a response approach. But this has been around sort of three areas: screening and testing, isolation of affected, as we saw in Bethlehem, and health education. And I think it's been quite successful in that regard, and I think they've done a good job. Clearly, we don't know what's ahead of us because the spread, as we see in other countries, the actual curve is quite severe. And you know, I think the efforts undertaken by the Palestinian Authority and the West Bank and what they're doing in Gaza, the Gaza's a bit more problematic because of the difficulty between the parties. But I do believe that this virus has brought people closer together because they understand that it doesn't respect boundaries or political parties or factions. It's something that affects everyone. And we have to work and collaborate together on that as well as we can. And I think we see that very clearly. And we in the UN and the international community are there ready to support where we can. We put out a response plan asking for immediate funding and we're trying to work to get more money for that.
What is the type of cooperation between you and the Palestinians? How would you help?
As I mentioned, we're working very closely with the Ministry of Health as our direct partner on this issue, but obviously collaborating with other parts of the Palestinian Authority and the Minister of Health in both West Bank and Gaza. We're there to try and provide support where we can. Obviously, resources are in difficult position because, you know, funding is short for Palestine in general. But that said, we were able to gather money from a number of sources. We got money from internal funding from the UN, UNICEF and World Health Organization. We've received funding from a few key donors at this point in time, the Austrians in particular. Qatar has also put money there. And we are looking to get funding for more support to that. The support is basically used for the meantime, or the immediate time is for bringing in testing kits, which is an essential part of us being able to screen the right possibilities to deliver assistance to who we think are in most need. Secondly, is bringing in what they call personal protective equipment. These masks and bodysuits that people can wear, especially in particular those people in the front line delivering health services to the people. So that we're working with other organisations within the PA, in particular education, to try and get the schools to be used as places where we can deliver messages and get outreach, prepare the schools for people to come back in safe areas. And we're doing communications, public health communication campaigns out there as well. And clearly we're looking forward to the longer term plan, which is looking at how we can prevent the economy from suffering too much, how we can revitalize it when the right time is. But I think we also have to recognize that it's a very fluid situation and we don't know how this will unfold, but we're working closely with the authorities both in West Bank and Gaza to make sure that we are prepared and we can prevent what we can with the resources at our disposal. We clearly have to call to donors to give us more funding, and we're doing that through Nikolai Mladenov, the Special Coordinator's Office, and through our conversations with the headquarters and here locally with the donor community, who we had a big meeting this week to explain the situation and try to sort of approach them to get key funding for the immediate plan. Our plan at the moment is asking for $7 million, and that's looking at immediate health needs for the next 60 days or so. But that will change as the cases rise, as you know.
Are you following what is happening in the West Bank regarding the virus? Is there any help you are providing?
We are working very closely with them through our WHO and other health colleagues on the ground. We're in constant contact with them because we have to be. We're working with the Minister of Health, the Minister of Social Development and others linked to Ramallah, and obviously working in Gaza as we've been doing for many years. Through the Great March of Return, I think we built up a very strong relationship with them in terms of trauma, in terms of the ability to respond to that. I think that alliance and those connections there at the technical level in Gaza allows us to work harder in terms of how we can put in the same systems of preparedness, response, screening and education. And we're doing that, I think, very well. We are very concerned about Gaza, obviously, because it's a very complicated area. I think the blockade there for all those years and the restrictions that are already in place, I think makes it difficult in terms of it could become a sort of a almost an incubator-like situation where people are caught up in a very overcrowded area. We know that they're starting to do, they're doing testing and quarantine. They're trying to establish centres. We are working with the authorities, the de facto authorities, to find out what does that mean. In the meantime, the Palestinian Authority here have identified the European Hospital as being a place where confirmed cases can go and be housed. As in the case of the West Bank, we are trying to encourage hotels in Gaza to be used as places where people can be kept because they're already established. That's already happened. We know one of the hotels in Gaza has been used, and we're encouraging others. And once they're being used up, we can then start thinking of alternative locations for housing people. People need to be in quarantine for 14 days. If you're coming in from Rafah through Egypt, for example, you might be potentially infected, and therefore you may be able to go back to your family because you live in a very overcrowded area. So there might be a need for people to be screened and held back for 14 days until they're clear the virus is not there. We are trying to emphasise with the authorities in Gaza that prevention is a key, and we know that the health system there has been resilient over decades, and they have to be because that's how they survive. But it also remains underfunded and it's under-resourced, and it's seriously under-equipped. And the stress they had through the Great March Return put a massive pressure on the system, which was already quite weak anyway. And what this has done now, I think, is further sort of deteriorated the system for in terms of ability to respond. So anything we can do, and we're trying to do, and we're working with all the parties, both in Ramallah and Gaza, and also the Israelis who've been helping with keeping supply chains open. What we're doing is we're trying to put supplies in place, testing kits. We're trying to encourage parties and try to get funding from donors to put money in there, working closely with the Israeli authorities to make sure that they're very permissive towards us bringing material. And so far, it's been a very positive collaboration. We've seen they've been very supportive, very helpful, and working in close connection with the Palestinian Authority as well. So on that side of things, I think we're in good shape. The big issue is resources. The big issue is a lack of funding. The big issue is the ability to procure material on the global market at the right time. On these personal protective equipment and on testing kits and things like ventilators, they're in short supply globally. And if we don't have the money here locally to buy or to purchase in the region, then we're struggling. We're in close connection and collaboration and cooperation with the Israelis over even buying in Israel and beyond. But there is a real shortage globally. And it's something we have to recognise and something we have to do to get the procurement people and the supplies people really funded and supported and ready and able to buy. We may have to try and get local manufacturers for some of these items, and that's what we're exploring at the moment.
The measures could be good to prevent and to isolate the coronavirus in the Palestinian territories and in Gaza as well, but the economy is collapsing already, and if the crisis continued, and we don't know how long it's going to last, but that has any consequences on the economy. How would you deal with that?
Yeah, well, we've developed a plan as the international responders here in support of the authorities, and that's for 90 days. But that's looking at the material part of things. That's looking at bringing in supplies, medical supplies, equipment, etc. And that's one part of it. I think you have to balance that against the economy, because as we already see, many people in the West Bank, for example, have been working in Israel and bringing funding or bringing money to their families. That will slow down as restrictions of movement takes place. Obviously, Gaza has a particular issue because it's 50% of the population is unemployed. You know, people would say that is a very, very bad figure, but in the same ways, they're able to cope because they've been coping that way for years. They've been living in those very difficult circumstances for over 13, 14 years. They have a resilience because they have to survive. They know how that's done. But this could be a tipping point for many of the people living there, because the strain that will put on the resources, their capacity, and even this well-regarded resilience that's in Gaza, the Sumud. People will I think these things are, there's too many layers of pressure. So we have to ease the pressure by being present there, by providing material support, by providing information, public information, by helping families get through this very difficult time. And hopefully, once we come out of that, with the cooperation that's been built by the parties, the different parts of the Palestinian Authority and the de facto authorities, as well as the Israelis, that cooperation and collaboration will lead to other benefits in the future. And hopefully one of those would be an economic revitalization of both the West Bank and Gaza. And that's something we're hoping. But in the meantime, our immediate concern is to prevent the spread or the increase of this virus, keep people safe, and hopefully we all come out of this. The timeline is uncertain. As you mentioned, it could be months, it could be longer, we don't know. The trajectory of it in Europe, we're watching, because it'll be the same trajectory elsewhere. We're looking at the worst case scenario. You see what's happening in Italy, and hopefully it will be the best case scenario in other places. And we just have to prepare for the worst and hope for the best.